So we started the sugya daf yud aleph from an aleph of ger katan, and let's just summarize a few of the main points. This is the breakthrough of Rav Huna, which he establishes based on our Mishnah Ksubis, that you can take a ger katan umat bilin also al das fest. Now, there are a number of comments here in Rashi and the Rishonim that we spoke about last time. I just want to put them back on the table and reemphasize them. We haven't been together for 2 weeks. And number one is Beis Din becomes the Av. Right. They become like the father, the substitute father. The mother brought this child to Gerus in front of Beis Din. It's not that Beis Din runs around the streets and just pulls children off the streets and says, you know, we're going to throw you into a mikveh and we're going to be Megayer you. Thank you so much. But rather, the mother brought the child for Gerus. Okay, where's the father? The father's not here. And therefore, Beis Din has to jump in and substitute as the father. Why do we need the father, or if not the father, Beis Din? That's called Das. What's Dalid Ayin Tuf? Das is a specific halachic word, a very heavy word. It has a very technical meaning. It's like in every field of human discipline, there's certain words that have heavy, specific, technical meaning to it. I'm sure in computers, and I'm sure in editing, and every area. Here, the word das means the power to create a chalos. That's called das. Das means whenever there's going to be a change in the halachic status of a person or an object, you need das. For example, if I want to transfer ownership over this glass to you, that kinyan can only be effectuated through das. If I want to take a guy and transform him to a Jew, that means we want to be mecha, what's called kedushas Yisrael, you can only do that with das. Without das, you cannot create a chalos gerus. If, for example, you want to take raw materials and make it into a kli, let's say, for example, in the old days, they used to cut hides as skin, and then they would decide what to do with it. Either they would manufacture shoes, or they would use it as a tablecloth. That decision would require das in order to make it royal kabbal tumah, but that's already the laws of kelim. If, for example, a man wants to divorce his wife, Rachmana Litzlan, to create a chalos gerushin and be mater, remove her Yisrael Shasich, that requires das. If a man wants to write a ksuba for his wife, that requires das. That's called das. Now, in the case of a katan, there's no das. Why? Because we have an overriding principle called cheresh shota v'katan lav b'nei das. You could be the Vilna Gaon and know shots backwards and forwards at the age of six. You're a precocious genius, and you have a 250 IQ, that's not das. Das is a halakhic entity, and it depends upon godless. Less than godless, you're not a das. What happens in the case of a guy? Very complicated. Like some sofer thinks that every guy is different, and every non-Jewish child has to be judged as to whether or not he has das, because there's no such shear as godless or shteisaris with regard to non-Jews. But for our purposes, we're going to assume that since this katan is very, very young, kuliamalo pligi, he doesn't have das. So how can we talk about gerus without das? Gerus, no less than any other chalos, any transaction, requires das. And that's where Beis Din comes in. In a normal case, if all things were equal, if a father brings his son or his daughter for gerus, and he, the father himself, wants to be misgayer, let's talk about the easy case. It gets more complicated if he himself doesn't want to be misgayer. But let's say he himself wants to be misgayer. It's a family of gerim, a happy, happy-go-lucky family of gerim, potential gerim. So the father could supply the das for his child. That is the special power and authority that a father has over his child. However, if the child's mother brings the child for gerus, then there's no father, there's no das, and how could there be gerus? And the answer is that Beis Din is going to supply the das. So far, so good? Okay, one more introduction. Where does Beis Din come off supplying das for gerus? And the answer to that question is called Zachin Li Adam Shelo Befanav, which means the following. That if, let's say, there's an object here on the table that's ownerless, it's hefker. Now, you, whoever you are, through your das, could acquire ownership on it. But now there's a new chiddush. I can supply the das on your behalf through zachin liyadim shelo b'fanav in such a way that you become the proud owner of this hefker object by virtue of my das. However, what we have to understand is 2 points. Number one, there's got to be some objective reason or evidence to assume that this is beneficial for the zocher. I can't just come along and say, you know what, I think this is a good idea for you. You know, you'll thank me later on. No. We don't second guess. It's got to be objective, absolute schutz. That's called zoch. Zoch milachin schutz. It's beneficial. It's meritorious. Now, if an eved, for example, wants desperately his freedom, you could say that zoch in the olam shel b'fanav. Let's just get that get shikrur, you know, to be meshacher him. But it's not so simple, because although it's not such a great thing to be an eved, it is a great thing if you like, you know, the hanky panky of hefkeris, of living the life of ger, you know, flirting with all the shifters there and so forth and so on. So the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth as to whether or not zoch li olam shel b'fanav applies to an eved. Apparently, when it comes to gerus, the Gemara is absolutely convinced that for a ger katan to become a ger, a goy katan to become a ger, is a schus. It's an objective schus. That's Rav Huna, and Rav Huna therefore says, once we know it's an objective schus, then zochi liolam shel b'fanav. Who is going to supply the das and replace his father? It's best. However, there's one catch 22. Zochi liolam shel b'fanav is not something that allows us to force a chalos down someone's mouth against his will. If the person comes back later on and he finds out about this and he says, you know what, I object, it wasn't such a good idea for me, then the whole zachin ordeal goes down the tubes. The whole project is a failure. And we abort the project. Therefore, we have two statements in our Gemara that we discussed last time. One is Rav Huna and the other is Rav Yosef. Rav Huna is going to say, and we'll look at it inside, Ger kot mat bilin osal das best. Why? My kamashman schusu lo, that Gerus is a schus, v'zach li olam shel b'fanav. Bezdin can serve as his father and supply the das through via what mechanism in halacha? What halacha principle? Zach li olam shel b'fanav. That's fine. But then we're going to have another statement, and again I'm just fast forwarding for a second, so we have the whole framework of the sugya. Omer Rav Yosef Higdil Yecholim Limchos, that when this child becomes old enough and now he has his own das, and we've been assuming, wait, this is a great thing for him, how beneficial it is that he became a ger, and lo and behold, he surprises us, throws a curveball, and says, I don't want it. That's called mecha, says Rav Yosef. The mecha undermines the whole deal, and it's out. Completely thrown overboard and invalid. Now the last introduction is two deis and tosfos. This halacha of Rav Huna, ger kot mat bilin osal das bezdin, does that make this child into a ger de oraisa? Tosfos in Sanhedrin, not here, is of the opinion that yes, zoch in the other shalom before, that's a de oraisa. Tosis here rejects. How can you say Zochin the Olam Shel B'Fanav on a deraisa level? Zochin is an extension of Shlichus, and we don't know, the Halach doesn't recognize Shlichus on behalf of a guy. Because in the parash of Shlichus, in Truma, it says, Atem Gam Atem, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, Af Shluchachem B'nei Bris. So again, whether you give contributions to B'nei Bris or not, that's up to you. But one thing I can tell you, that a B'nei Bris means it's got to be a Jew. And if you're not a Jew, then there's no Shlichus. So Tosis, therefore, comes to the radical conclusion that this whole story here of Rav Huna is only a Ger de Rabbanon. Comes along Berzon, and I don't know if I'm right, and I want to be medayik that Rashi agrees to Tosis. Because when Rashi wants to know whether Ger Kot Matbilin Asol Das Bezdin, what's the Nafgemina, says Rashi, if he touches our wine, we're allowed to drink the wine. And I find this very odd. Of all the implications involved in Gerus, Rashi can only break his head and come up with one implication, one Nafgemina, namely that if he touches our wine, we're allowed to drink our wine. But the answer is that if he touches our wine, what kind of din are we dealing with?
Drabon.
Only a drabon. because stam yenom is a gzeira d'rabbanan. In other words, if a guy takes wine and he pours it as a libation in front of avodah zarah, that becomes a cheftid isur d'oraisa tosav no cherem hu, you can't get any benefit from it. And obviously, I can't drink such wine. That's already an isur avodah zarah. But if, on the other hand, a guy touches wine, that's already a gzeira d'rabbanan. That's called stam yenom. Says Rashi, you know what the import and the implication of Rahuda ger katmat dinos al das bezdin, if he touches wine, the wine is kosher. Why? Because the Rabbanan made him into a ger. The Rabbanan consider him a Jew.
But not
Doraisa? But not Doraisa. Because it can't be Doraisa. Now, why does Rashi think it can't be Doraisa? Rashi doesn't tell us. So here's where I invoke Tosis. Tosis says, Zachal Yalim Shol B'fanov is an extension of Shlichus. And Shlichus only works on behalf of a Jew, of Ben Bris. Shlichus doesn't work on behalf of an Akum. And therefore, there's no Zchiyah. The whole Zchiyah of Rav Huna is only a fiction of his mind. It's a Drabana. Rav Huna created this entity called Geirus Drabana. That's what Tosis says. Let's see it inside, just so you don't think, you know, I invented it just for dramatic, you know, for purposes of drama. Tosis says, "My bilin so al das bezdin on top of your aleph from an aleph, mishum deschusin tema does chia avi b'tam shlichus came the schus lo anan sadi di avid le shliach." In other words, once there's a schus, we can create what we call a self-appointed shliach. Okay, that's a whole sugya. In Cain, line 4 in Tosis, Heich zachin lekatan, halo ein shlichus lekatan. Okay, so that's not such a kasha, because this is not a problem of ein shlichus lekatan so much as it's a viod, is even a more fundamental problem. That kati oli kochavim, right now he's a guy. So you might say katan osi lechlal shlichus isle schia. You might say that maybe we could push in shlichus for a katan, because ultimately the katan will be included in the parish of shlichus when he becomes a gadol. But ove kochav lo osi lechlal shlichus, an ove kochav will never become a shliach, and therefore afilu schia derabbanan less. Veneru l'ri tochinami zochin lo mirabbanan. That since through this Geirus, the guy is becoming a Jew, that's what the Rabbanan established, that's called Asi L'chal Shlichus on a Rabbanan level. V'im Tomar Hechi Avi Ger Rabbanan V'sharina Le Bebas Yisrael, are we going to allow this Ger to marry a Jewish girl when on a Daraisa level, what's his status? He's a guy. How can we condone such a marriage relationship? V'kidusha V'kidusha Ben HaTorah Ovi Kochavehu. Now, the balance of this Tosfos is very, very radical. And this is a whole sugya yavamos. And Rabosai, this is out of my league. The Gemara has a man di omar. And again, we don't paskin like this. That yesh koch biyad chachomim lakar dover bin haTorah. That the Rabbanan have an authority to be oker and isur doraisa. And Tosfos says you have to invoke that shita, which is tucked away in the Sech Nivamis, in order to justify how this ger is recognized as a ger katan. And the answer is that the Rabbanan are going to flex that muscle of yesh koch biyad chachamim lakar dover min haTorah. That's unbelievable. But be that as it may, one thing we see clearly, that Tosfos recognizes this ger is only on a Rabbanan level. Midaraisa, he's not Jewish. Phenomenal, no? Pretty phenomenal. Tosfos in Sanhedrin is not like that. Tosfos says, no, Zechia works over here. The question is how that works. And I'll just tell you this. Tosfos says that although Agamara, officially, on an explicit level, is operating with Zechia, don't take that too seriously. It's really not Zechia. It couldn't be Zechia because there's no Zechia for an Akku. Tosfos says this is not Zechiah. We don't need Zechiah in this case. Why? Says Tosfos, a very interesting svara, and on the face of it, it sounds like he's pulling the wool over our eyes. He says, because kevan chageris begufo shel ger, de milasa utvilasa begufo, Tosfos says we don't need Zechiah. Interesting. In other words, when do we apply the principle of Das? Das applies if I do a zchiyah and supply you the das for you, because I am doing the maisa, and now the maisa is generating chalos on your behalf. So again, there are two persona here. There's the zocher, and there's the mezakeh, right? The mezakeh is the one who's doing it on his behalf. Since you split it into two, the mezakeh has to set up a zocher in the other shlo b'fonov, such that the maisa of the mezakeh now is chal on behalf, vicariously, on behalf of the zocher. So how does my maisa relate to you? That's called zocher in the olam shelo b'fonov. But what happens if the maisa is done begufo shel zocher? The zocher himself is doing the action in his very body. Then Tosfos says we don't need zocher in the olam shelo b'fonov. Since the mila and the tefillah are being implemented in the gufo shel katan, the katan himself is being subject to the maisa tefillah. If it's a katana, then it's tefillah. If it's a katan, it's going to be mila and tefillah. Therefore, we don't need zchiyah.
What does he do with the das part? Those are just the physical parts of the geiris. But how about the most important part, possibly the das? The katan doesn't have, so there you need. Oh. That can't be. I mean, that's the problem with that.
So Tosfos says, unbelievable. This is Tosfos in Sanhedrin Samachis. He has a source for this concept that Beis Din could effectuate geirus on behalf of Kohen. Where does he derive it from? Matan Torah. The Gemara establishes in Masechta Krisus that at Matan Torah, the entire nation of Israel underwent geirus, so that the Torah was given to the Jewish nation. And all the laws of geirus are derived from Matan Torah. When they left Mitzrayim, there was tefillah. There was mila. Before they got to Har Sinai, v'kibastem esim lo seichem, there was tefillah. And mila and tefillah derived from Matan Torah. For geirus for all eternity. It says Tosfos, I don't get it. Klal Yisrael, men, women, and children. I understand the geirus of the men and the women. Mila, tefila, das, the whole 9 yards. But what about the children? The children were also included in Matan Torah. How did they undergo geirus? Says Tosfos, that's my bilin osal das best. That there's a separate halacha with regard to geirus, that Beis Din could effectuate the geirus even for a katan. And that, says Tosfos, is a doraisa Allah. Tosfos says, I don't have to go into complications here about zochin the olam shel b'fonov on behalf of God, on behalf of God. I don't have to enter into complications here and say, yesh koch b'yad chachom lakar dov min haTorah. This is only a geirus rabbanon or a rabbinic institution. We're going to allow him to marry a Jewish girl because yesh koch b'yad chachom. Forget all that. Tosfos is operating with a new parasha of geirus. And this parasha is the parasha of Matan Torah, in which, since the geirus is begufo shel ger, the mila and tefillah is in begufo shel katan, therefore I don't need zochin in the odom shel b'fonov. You'll ask me, but what about das? How can Beis Din effectuate this geirus? The answer is that Beis Din becomes an av, and they can now effectuate this geirus. And the parsha, the source parsha for that, is Matan Torah. Let's see the Gemara inside. I mean,
if you're based on the Matan Torah idea, it sounds like you wouldn't have the possibility of a katan when he becomes a gadol to reject it.
It seems that, according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, and we have to understand how, the katan could reject his geirus. Because otherwise we don't know what to do with Rav Yosef. So let's go through the Gemara.
Rav Yosef is working in that way. Sounds like that possibility is an open.
And that could be Rav Huna before Rav Yosef. And then we have to understand, well, why did Rav Yosef backtrack on that? Om Rav Huna ger kot mat bilin osal das Beis Din. It means that Beis Din become the Av, and they oversee his tevila. The Rishonim want to know why doesn't Mila get mentioned here. Some Rishonim say they left out Mila because they want to talk even about a Gioreth, a Jewish girl. I mean, a non-Jewish girl is becoming Jewish and she doesn't have Mila. And Michael Mashmon, very strange question. I don't know if it's a rhetorical question. What's the Chiddush of Rav Huna? Dischusulo. And the Gemara soon is going to vacillate. Is it really a schus to become Jewish? He's zochin the other shalom b'fun. So Gemara says Tanina, we have a brisa. I don't need Rav Huna. Zochin the other shalom b'fun. The ain chavin the other shalom b'fun. So the question here is a little bit, you know, the Gemara's question is a little bit odd, because the Gemara just said that Rav Huna was mechadish two chidushim. Number one, that it's a schus, and number two, that zochin the other shalom b'fun. If the Gemara attacks the second chidush and says, wait a minute, we know zochin the other shalom b'fun. Yeah, but we didn't know that Geirus is a schus. Maybe that's exactly what the Gemara is answering now. Mal de tema, I would have thought, ovikochom befkeir nichale, it's better to remain a guy. Because you live a life of caris, you can have relations with anybody you want, just about. And therefore, it's not a very great schus to become Jewish. And the Gemara is going to illustrate this. Doha kaimalon di eved vadebef kera nichole. Which means that if a person wants to receive shichrur to free an eved through zochin the other shalom b'fanav, we assume no. The Eved would rather have a life of Efkeris. It's Noach lo, it's better for him. If he's Mutter, with Zimas HaShvachos, he can live with the Shvachos. Why should he be Meshukrar? And he can no longer live with the Shvachos. He loves the society, you know, that laid-back life of mixing with the Shvachos. Now, let's apply that logic to Oved Kochavim. Oved Kochavim also enjoys this Efkeristic life. Here's where Rav Huna steps in to be mechadish the hanimili. That principle in Eved applies to a gadol. He's already lived a mature life and he's already tasted the enjoyment of shvachas, the tam tamadi surah. But aval katan, this child is like a tabula rasa. You know, it's like a pure soul. He's not. He doesn't have any vested interest in continuing some sort of lifestyle of hefkerus, of freedom. Is therefore schusulo, it's better for him to become a Jew, and therefore, says Rav Huna, mat bilin oso, al das bezlan. I see here, in a footnote which I wanted to share with you, that he says, second, just give me one more minute here. So now I don't see it. Oh, hatam shenoka tvila velo mila. Why does Rav Huna mention tvila and leaves out mila? So he goes through a whole series of answers to this. First of all, in order to cover the case of an akeva, as we discussed before. Secondly, he says another answer in the Rishonim is that there's a special chiddush in tvila. Yosem mi b'mila, shemila nish eres begufo gam l'chayagdil. In other words, we can spin off, we can sort of, spill over the gerus into his godless because he's got the mila begufo. But tefila is an instant and it's gone. It has been, it was, but it is no longer. And therefore, salkadat kamini de'ein moil at tefila bekatnuso. You know, the tefillah's katnus is not a tefillah as far as Geirus is concerned. Mila is okay because Mila is a physical change in his body that's going to continue way beyond his period of godliness.
Is that, you know, there's a...
Say it again?
There's a practice today of in like the non-religious world of, like I know Pesach Krum does this, the Mila of Das Geirus. In other words,
what do you mean? He's doing mila on what? On I don't get it.
What's a non-Jewish child?
Oh, on a non-Jewish child.
Non-Jewish child. In other words, the mother is not Jewish. The father is Jewish.
Oh, I see.
They want to have a bris, so they'll come in. He'll do the bris on Aldaz Geiris. In other words, that down the road this might be used as part of the Geiris.
Sounds a little bit iffy to me. Does he have two? All the Dayanim who were there?
No.
So I don't see how that... I see what you're saying. That maybe if down the line...
That's right.
They will be Megayer him.
Correct.
Then the Mila Shebegufo will be part and parcel of the Geirus.
That's right.
I don't think that that's what's being said here. I think when he says Mila Nisheres Begufo means the Mila of Geirus in front of a Bez. I don't know that any mice of Mila on a guy can later on be considered Mila Shem Begufo Lashem Geirus. So I don't know.
Unless it was a Moel doing it with that in mind.
Oh, but again, he would require two other Dayan. If let's say the Moel has two other Dayan and he says to them, look, this meal that you're about to see
is that right?
Is, in other words, no, let me suggest. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. You'll shrug me up, but I'm just talking out loud.
That's how he's doing it.
No. I'm just saying. But I'm just giving you my gut response. I'm saying my intuition, my knee jerk response is the following: that if let's have a moel, and they come to me with this child who's a goy, so I would say to two other fellows, listen, Rabbi Sai, you know what? This mila, let's do it l'shem gerus, on the condition that v'haya, you know, if by some miracle, you know, when the child gets older or whatever it is, there will be an actual gerus, right? That this mila could be chal b'toras milas gerus. Why? Because we are going to start the process of milas gerus now, right now at this second. Yeah, go ahead. Now slug me up.
No, I'm not slugging up at all. Yeah. But it could be that's how he does it.
Maybe that's how it would make sense. But just for one single moel.
It is amazing that.
You know, to say I have a mind with Shengerus, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know.
Maybe it's.
But I know that he does this in. Again, I shouldn't like bring it up because I don't know. You have to ask Pesach Kron how he does
right,
this.
Right. But the only time I see Pesach Kron is on video, you know, once a year on Tisha B'Av here at the end of the
year. I know he's doing it in non religious settings where you don't necessarily have two other Shomer Shabbos people to turn to and say, do it.
So I don't know. So that's appealing to me. I don't see how a Maisa Mila can become Mila's Geirus, even later on down the line.
It's amazing that, again, let's say even with this Bezdin or whatever, that you could set this up in a way that 12 years later, 13 years later, that Mila can be effective. In other words, you can have in mind Geirus now without any intention of Geirus happening. I'm just saying that.
I'm saying, but for that, I admit to you that could be valid, yeah. But only on condition that you have a bezdin. You know, you need three dayanim for that. Well, you know, without three dayanim, it's a maisa. You know, it's no different than if a surgeon, you know, a non-Jewish surgeon performs circumcision. You know, that doesn't have any halachic status.
When you say dayanim, you need like status of dayanim.
No, it could be through any any three ediotos. You know,
even story.
Yeah.
Lamaisa, it's a surgeon who does in a hospital,
right?
Especially if he's a goy, he doesn't know what bris mila's the halachic procedure is. Whereas if a moel does it, then however many years down the line,
but I'm just pointing out l'fiani is daiti. Again, this is all be'eravon mukbal. You know, I'm just telling you what I think. Levi Omerli. That there's no difference between Rabbi Pesach Kron's circumcision and that of a non-Jewish surgeon as far as what would happen down the line.
But it might not have to be fixed by a real moel, let's say.
He's talking on a health level or biologically, you know, you want to make sure that he does it properly.
The circumcision that I thought was down wrist would be sufficient after that, is it right?
I'm just pointing out that unless you have a bezdin, it cannot be that mila becomes a chalushev mila. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think he's doing without a bezdin,
not our sugi today. Baruch Hashem, you know, I love Rabbi Kron. He's one of my favorite people on the face of the earth, and I would never doubt his decision. But I'm just telling you, you know, as far as the sugi is concerned, I'm telling you what I see here. But what I really wanted to point to your attention in this footnote is a quote here from the Shita Mekubetzes. And this I find mind-boggling. Maybe you could help me with this. He writes the following. Kosav HaShita Mekubetzes Shemila Ein Zeschus Kevin Sheyesh Batzar Godel V'alken V'emes Ein Malino Soshalo Al Daito. Wait a minute. The Rav Huna says Ger cut might be Rosal Das Bezdin. So it means he's a Ger. Whether he's a Ger to Rice, a Ger to Rabbanan, I'm not going to argue with you about that. But we're talking about Gerus. You can't have Gerus on a child without Mila. And he's saying that we're not going to be Malin. Why? Because there's no such thing as Zach and the other Shalom Bafan of for Mila. You know, Tvila, okay. So, you know, you took a rinse in a bath. You know, big deal. But Mila is Tzar Gadol. and therefore there's no such thing as Zoch in the Olam Shel Ofanav with regard to Mila. That's, we're not willing, the Shita Begetz is not willing to look at the ultimate, how do you say it, the, you know, the bad for the ultimate good, you know, saying, you know, let's weigh. He's not willing to say, well, okay, so he'll suffer for a couple of hours or a couple of days for the better good of being a Jew for the rest of his life. He's not willing to say that. He's saying that the Maisa Mila does not lend itself to his chus, period. It's Tzar Gadol, and there's no Zoch L'Yashol Fanav on Mila.
How does he read the Gemara?
I don't know. So listen, that's why I asked you if you had any insight. He says the following. Listen to this. He says, the Emes Ein Malano So Shalom Midaita. Ella, maybe this will save us. She'im malo oso bal korcho is yecholim lad bila. Then Rav Huna is talking about a case where, again, I don't know exactly which, pardon the expression, jerks, you know, decided to do this, right? But some fictitional bezdin, I don't know what, went ahead and they did the bila bal korcho. Says Rav Huna, Matbila no sal das besta. Now we can apply Zoch in the Olam Shel Ofanav because the meal is a done deal. Wild, no? And if I would have, if somebody in my class would have said this to me, I would have said, you're a shaita, you're an idiot. Right. He's quoting the Shita Megubetzer. That's a risho.
But according to the Shita, you could never have Ger Katan.
There's no such thing as Ger Katan except in this weird case, so which I don't know how it happened.
Somebody did it wrongly in one season.
Exactly. Right. The mistake was done, the Mila was implemented, and now we're going to be my philosophical
test. Sounds like it's just against the Gemara, so it's...
Right. You see, I empathize with his problem over here. It's a textual problem and it's a conceptual problem. Textually, that's a problem. Why didn't Rav Huna whisper a word about Mila? Okay, right. So he offered many different answers to that question. Right. He's not satisfied with any of them. Now he has a conceptual problem. In his understanding, there's no Zoch in the Olam Shel Ofanav for Mila. It's not Chavad Shalom. There's no Geirus without Mila. So what are you going to do here? Rav Huna says that there's Geirus al Das Bezdin. There is no Geirus without Mila. There's no Zoch in the Olam Shel Ofanav for Mila because it's our Gadol. So now we have a problem. So you know what? It's a case where they went ahead and they did Mila without asking permission. I don't know exactly. And again, this is also related to your discussion about the Moel, because who is this guy who went ahead and implemented the Mila in the framework of the shape of the approach of the shape of the Shita Mekubetzes? Who is he? Is he some sort of jerk off the street? Or who gave him any sort of a green light or guidance? Who gave him rabbinical guidance to go ahead and take a child and be mild the child when there's no Zoch L'Olam Shel Ofanav for Mila? He's not a shaita. So for that shaita, we're going to say that this, we're going to go ahead now and do tefillah? So I don't know. Now, in the footnote here, he tells you that you should see the Likute Biurim. Now, I have the Likute Biurim here in the back. It's very, very small for my eyes. And it's massive. So I would like to take a quick seker here, you know, a quick vote. Do you want me to spend up to, let's say, a minute or two to try to find this, or should we just go on? I mean, it's up to you. I didn't hear too many responses here. You know?
I feel like we're going on factual ground as far as what.
Again, I'm not sure if I'm going to find it, and even if I find it, I'm not sure if I'm going to understand it. Here he says. One second. Oh, Madua Nokat Vila Umadin Bimila. He says the following. The Shita Mekubetzes Kosav Shenokat Vila Mishum Sherak Zeus Chuslo Avol Mila Kevish Mitzair Eno Choshim Schus Vol Shaipe Lomer Al Das Bezdin Avol Im Kvar Mol. Afilu Hoya Dover Lichovoso Kvar Yotzi Yedei Mila. He says it explicitly. It was lichovaso, and yet, post facto, we recognize this as mila. Vishuv im hipilu acher kachal das bezdin nechshav schus nigmar malach kal yedei das bezdin. And he writes v'kein kosev ba'afla. Ba'afla was the rav in Germany. I'm trying to remember his name right now. It's escaping. The hosif and afla adds the af shekaimalon shetzorcha tofas dam bris yeshlomar shekan shiny shenimol l'shem mitzvah. Whoa, the milu is done l'shem mitzvah. Right again, you see that
now l'shem geirus.
Right, but you're already a step ahead of me. What I meant, what I was. You know, excited about when he added l'shem mitzvahs. I see he's grappling with that problem. Like, what is the meaning of this milah, and how does it at all relate to our sugya of geirus when there was no zokh le'ol v'shol b'fan of milah? So I see he's sweating it out too, and Afla is adding that this milah is l'shem mitzvah.
What's that?
I don't know, but again, it upgrades into some middle status here, where maybe Hatovas Dam Bris will be meaningful. You know, be mitzari for milu shem mitzvah with a Hatovas Dam Bris l'shem geiris. I don't know. There's a lot of lumpness here that totally eludes me. He says v'af im nomar dikshe nasa gadol tzorch Hatovas Dam Bris bekaton efshel lahosif lo Dam Bris v'ein zeh begedet tzar. I don't know. Now he wants to say even more than that he can do that Hatovas Dam Bris while he's a child, and that's not called tzar, and that becomes zocher the olim shlo b'fan. I don't know. At the end of this piece, he writes v'ayin igros Moshe yoredeya simon kuvtes. So I don't know if you. All right, then let's go on. Ad kan shita mekuvtes. I mean, fascinating, and it all starts with this diuk. Why Rav Hun emphasized tefillah not mila? Okay. Now, in the middle of this Gemara that we just learned now, it says, Kaimolon di eved vadai lehefkera nichole. In truth, my friends, that is a machlokas tanoim, whether there is zoch in the other shalom fana by shichur eved or not. Rabbanan are of the opinion that indeed it's better for him to be an eved mishuchrar, even though he has to forfeit his life with the shvachos. And it's very strange here because the Gemara says, "Kaimel and the Eved Vadei Befkeri Nichle." That reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir, who precludes or excludes Zochin Lo Shol B'Fan of an Avdus. But in fact, we paskin like the Chachamim that even in the case of Eved, we apply the principle of Zochin Lo Shol B'Fan of, because in the overall picture, it's better for him. It's better for forfeit the life of the Shvachos for the sake of being a free person. So that he says is a very difficult point in this Gemara. Why the Gemara here quotes the Shita of Rabbi Meir, and when in fact we paskin like the Chachamim, the Shita Mekubetzes he quotes, saying that what really the Gemara wanted to say is that even though Rabbi Meir holds that there's no zach in the Olam Shalom funded by Eved for Get Shichur because he likes the Hefkeris, Rabbi Meir would still agree to Rav Huna that in the case of a guy katan who wasn't towing Tamid Isura, then it's Zoch in the Adam, it's Zoch in the Adam Shalom B'Fan.
Does anyone raise the issue of it's Zoch in the Adam Shalom B'Fan to be a Jew, but it's not Zoch in the sense that if you're not going to be an observant Jew, that you're going to rack up the Averas, and then it's not such a
correct. In other words, the whole predicate here of Huna is that if we raise him as a Jew, he under normal circumstances, if the educational system works and it's successful, then he'll be happy to be a Jew. Right. If it fails, then we're in deep trouble. And that's what we discussed, if you remember, two weeks ago.
That's a contemporary issue today of the in America and here in Israel, in terms of Ger Katan and other Gerus, where you're creating a situation where a person's going to be...
Yeah, Bezdin will only get involved in this Gerus if they are absolutely convinced that the child is being taken into a warm, you know, caring
Shomer Shabbos community,
and the chances are the child will succeed. You know,
in other words, you lose the aspect of Zachin.
Yeah, it's definitely not Zachin if the child is going to be a messed up Jew, if you follow what I mean. All right, Rabosa, at this point we could begin flying. I mean, things are going to fit into place.
Did Shannon mention that, or
I didn't see it. Lema misayele. I have a proof, says the Gemara, from our Mishnah to support Rabbi Rav Huna. Hagioris vashvuy vashivcha sheniftu v'niskayru v'nishtachru p'chusos v'oshlo shon v'yechod. Any girl who underwent Geirus before she was 3 years old, is a Besula, and she gains and she demands Ksuvas Masayim. That's what it says in our Mishnah. My love, how did she become a Gioris at the age of 3 years old or less? It must be that Belinu Al Das Bezdin. Says Gemara, lo. What does emo mean? What lashon is emo? Is that male? Is that masculine or feminine?
The father.
Right, it's the father. So we're talking about a case where the father comes to be miscarried together with his children, brings his children. That's the nichalu b'maydi of ravuon. There the father has the right to establish it as a schus, and therefore he can be megari the katan, and that's the case of our mission. However, Rav Huna overstepped his bounds by saying that if there's no father in the picture, and for that matter, maybe there's not even a mother in the picture, nevertheless, we can be megari the child of das bezda because it's schusulo. How do you know such a thing? If there's a family of gerim, that's one thing. But there's no family, how could bezdin do such a thing? And by the way, if Rav Huna is understood in light of Tosus in Sanhedrin that I said before, that there's a special halach that Bezdin can be Megayer of a Katan, then it's really something here. The Gemara is resisting this radical Chiddush. Rav Huna is insisting that this Chiddush happens. In other words, in the case of our Mishnah, the Gemara is saying that's a case of Zachar Liyodim Shlom B'Fan because the family is coming as a family to go undergo Gerus. But in the case where Bezdin is initiating the process, how can they do such a thing? Who says it's Zachar Liyodim Shlom B'Fan? And here's where I think Tosus would step in and he would say, well, Zachar Liyodim Shlom B'Fan is only the reason why Bezdin is motivated to get involved here. What do they need this headache for? So they think it's a good thing for the child to be Jewish. But Lamaisa, we're not applying the principle of Zachar Liyodim Shlom B'Fan. Rather, we're applying some sort of super overriding principle that Bezdin has the power to be Megayer of the children. Omer Rav Yosef, Higdilu Yecholim Limchas. Now, wait a second. This is a little bit complicated. What does it mean, higdilu yecholim limchos? At what point are they able, do they have the wherewithal, the power to be mocha, to make this mecha?
It does.
No, but at what point in time, in the development of the child? At what age? At what, you understand which birthday?
Bar Mitzvah.
Right, it's 13th birthday, right? But wait a second. Let's say he's 13 and a week. Can he still make a mecha? So the Rishonim understood Higdilu means at the moment he becomes a Gadol. That's the critical moment. But wait a second. At that moment he made a Macha. I mean, that's very childish to say he made a Macha. Oh, that was a pun. Okay. How can you tell me that he made a Macha at that moment? You know, what happened? The bell struck 12, you know, like Cinderella, and he made a Macha? I mean, if he made a Macha before he was a Gadol, so it's too early. That Mecha is not Chal. If you made a Mecha after he became a Gadol, it's too late. So what does Rav Huna, what does Rav Yosef mean? Higdili Cholim Limchos. At what point exactly in time is he going to be able to make this Mecha? Satosis here adds another point that perhaps might shed a light on this Gemara of Rav Yosef. But in order to appreciate Tosus's comment, what I recommend is that we read a few more lines of Gemara. So just keep in mind, you see the Tosus Lechi, it's on the bottom skinny lines, the third line. Yes. It's a one line Tosus, but those are the important ones, the one lines. So we're going to come back to that Tosus in just a minute. Esfe Abaye Sekashter of Yosef. You're telling me that the child could make a mecha down the line when he becomes a gadol. I don't understand something. The Mishnah is going to guarantee that this little girl who was subject to gerus at a young age is going to collect her ksuva. You want to force the Baal to pay Masayim Zuz, an enormous sum of money, for a girl who tomorrow, I don't mean tomorrow literally, but down the line, when she becomes a gadol, she may decide to exercise her rights to make a mecha. Isal kedaitach higdil yicholim limchos. If you're correct, Rabbi Yosef, is yavina la ksuva? She deserves a ksuva of Masayim. And then tomorrow, She decides, she chucks the whole thing, she doesn't want this Yiddishkeit. The Ozla V'Yachla B'Giyusa, and she's going to take the Ksuba money, and she's going to spend it as a Goyita? Why should she benefit from this Ksuba when she's not even Jewish? The halacha requires a ksuba, Masayim Suz, for the benefit of a Jewish marriage. This is not a Jewish marriage. And the Gemara is so hard-pressed by this kasha that Rav Yosef takes a back step and he says, you know what? We have to reinterpret this Mishnah, l'chi gadla. We're not going to give her a ksuba now. We're going to have to wait this out until she becomes a gadola. Where's the money of the ksuba? So he has a very interesting svara here. The name of the Shita Mekubet says that the money of the ksuba is placed in the, what word am I looking for? It's called escrow, but what it placed in the something of Bezdin, in the, can you help me out here with the English? In the deposit of Bezdin, the supervision of Bezdin, what word am I looking for? Jurisdiction of Bezdin. And let's say, for example, he divorces her when she's 4 years old. That means for the next 8 years, Bezdin's going to be holding on to this Masayim Zuz. They can't fork it over to her because she may be Mocha 8 years down the line. Only after 8 years, when we see that she wasn't Mocha, then she's an absolute Jewess. Now she comes to the Bezdin and she collects the Masayim Zuz from the Bezdin. Interesting. So if anybody ever asks you, is there a source in Halacha for the escrow? It's right here in Ksuba Staf Yidal. So let's say she reaches the age of 12. Now you're willing to give her the ksuba, take it out of escrow. Why not? She could still be mocha. Says the Gemara, Kavon, Shigdilu, Shah Achas, Velo Michasa, Shuveni Yechol Limchas. She only has that one moment in time, instantaneously. Boom! She hits her 12th birthday. Here's your choice. You want to be remain Jewish, or you want to be mocha. But what is Tosus add over here? That was the Tosus that I wanted to point out to you, because this whole idea of Shah Achas is very strange. You know, Mimar Shach, if it's before the Shach, it's too early. If it's after the Shach, it's too late. So Tosus says the following: the Imtomar, Valokfar Godlahi, Shinara. Okay. So anyway, Mefarish Ri, this is really where we want to start here, because there's other parts of this Tosus that we're not ready for yet. L'chi gadla v'naga minag yadus. When the Gemara says that that's too late, you know, she already passed that critical moment of Mecha, says Tosus, you know why? Because she was no heges minag yadus. Now, Tosus doesn't specify exactly what minag yadus entails, but let's just say in a general sense she was Shomer Shabbos or Kashrus, I don't know what. Oh, if that be the case, then maybe we can answer our original question. Basically, what we're going to draw is a timeline that begins before her 12th birthday and continues after her 12th birthday. And during that time period, whatever time it is, call it a day, we have a Naga Minog Das Yehudis. For that period of time, she observes the law as a Jewess has to. And that itself proves that she accepted Yiddishkeit. In other words, Tosus is saying, and I think I mentioned this to you a few weeks ago, the name of Moshe Feinstein, that we don't have to have a formal verbal declaration on her part, or if it's a boy, his part, when he reaches Bar Mitzvah, I accept Yiddishkeit. The very fact that the child continues in his ways to observe the law, that itself is an acceptance of Judaism. It's almost what I would call an acceptance by action rather than by words. And in the flip case, I'll just finish this up, in the flip case, let's say she made a mecha before she hit the 12th birthday, and she continues with that mecha, meaning, according to Tosfos, that means she refuses to live a Jewish life. So it doesn't mean that I have to pinpoint that one split second. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the question that I'm asking is related to a case that I was involved in, and that is, at what point do you say at what point do you say the person's not continuing in their Yiddishkeit? In other words, it's with a bar mitzvah, let's say Bo Bayom, they have a big celebration, he puts on his tefillin, he has his aliyah, the Torah. Is that enough?
I would think yes. That's enough.
So in this case,
that's noeg minig yad.
So in this case, the rabbi said it wasn't enough. This is Rabbi, whatever.
Okay, and what did he demand? You know,
I don't know, but they
was
saw
he demanding
that.
Shabbos? Maybe?
In other words, they saw afterwards that he wasn't accepting Yiddishkeit. But he had.
Oh, the rabbi had reason to suspect that, or
yeah.
So that's something different. I don't think it's the formal act of putting on tefillin at the big bench. You know what I mean? Today I'm a fountain pen. No. You need a noheg minhag yad. You know, if I have reason.
How long? At what point? I mean, that's
on that day. I'm saying.
No, but on that day, the boy did get. It was
No. But you're saying we already knew that this was just a, you know, minasafel chutz. This was just a big facade.
Okay.
But again, on the normal conditions, you know, if I have no reason to suspect otherwise, when he comes his bar mitzvah day and with genuine geschmack and feeling and joy, he puts on tefillin, that would be enough. He's now a full-fledged Jew. So again, tefillin is one example of many. I don't know that it has to. Let's say his bar mitzvah day was on Shabbos. He doesn't put on tefillin, right? But he observes the Shabbos. But if you have a reason to suspect that he's doing a mechah over here, then that's a different story. That's why your rabbi case, whoever the rabbi was, I think was thinking out of the box in a very intelligent way.
Uh-huh.
He had reason to suspect that this was, you know, all right, I'll go along. It's a nice, it's no worse than a sweet 16 birthday party, you know what I'm saying?
Presents.
Get some presents, you know, that was it. But this kid wasn't interested.
But I'm pointing out that action's not enough. In other words, noheg, you know, minhag yad.
No, I think noheg here doesn't mean noheg mibchina chitzonit.
Right. Right.
Noheg means a self-motivated, you know, being noheg. You know, like I give you an example. The Gemara says that in terms of grounds for divorce, you have a woman who's she's not noheges das yad. So let's say, for example. Again, I'm not talking contemporary terms, but back in time, if she exposes her hair and she's a married woman, she's not noheges das yadus. What the Gemara means is that she's not willing to live according to the standards of a behavior for a married woman according to Jewish law. It's not a question of, you know, the external, you know, do I take a picture of it and look, oh, he's wearing tefillin. That's not what it's all about. It's much more profound, because again, we're talking about mecha. We're talking about really basically the fact that Matbilin osal das bezdin, that's a temporary kind of das and a contingent das,
right,
based on the premise that it was a schus for him,
right,
that he really wants to live a Jewish life. But if, you know, we know otherwise, that's not noeg minhag yad.
Right.
That's my humble opinion.
Now, I know there's another discussion, but the idea of somebody who does, now we're not talking about a kafan, but somebody who converts. And then we see down the road that the person is not keeping, is not shomer.
Again, if we had reason to believe that he was noeg minhag yad just at that point, afterwards he becomes what's called a mumar. He's a Jew and he's a mumar.
Right, right, right.
We cannot undermine the gayers.
Undermine the gayers.
Retroactively. Right. No way.
There's some talk of that these days.
So. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me. I'm just a portion of Hagin Shia, you know.
You're saying halakhically, once in that case, you have a gayers, the deal is
I'll make you a deal, Rabbi. Send me a piece from the internet, an essay, and I'll believe it or I'll read it. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the burden is on you now. The ball's in your court. Masiv Rav. Now watch this. Rava is going to ask almost the identical question as Abaye, but from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah later on in Perikei Lunaris is going to establish that if a woman was a psula, and she was subject to some sort of an irua, you know, something happened, his onus, the mafat, and he has to, the ma'anis has to pay 50 shkolim to the father. Well, how do we know she's a basula? So we have reason to assume that she's a basula, unless we know otherwise. And therefore, yesh lehem knas. Knas means that they will collect chamishim kesef. Fine, the father actually collects. Now, there's another halacha. Then in the case of onus and mafater, the mitzvah is velo siya leisha. We discussed this in Masechta Makis, that he, the ma'anis, has to marry her if she agrees to marry him. Okay? Now, what happens if the man was ma'anis a woman who's psulalo, that he's not allowed to marry her?
Mm-hmm.
will the knas still, the 50 shekel knas still apply? Or should we say, well, since there's no mitzvah velosi elisha, the whole parish is thrown overboard? So the Mishnah establishes elu naris, here's a whole list of naris where there's no velosi elisha, they're psulos, but nevertheless yesh lam knas. They still have a knas because we assume that she was a psula. Habala mamzeres, he can't marry her. Ala nesina, ala kusis. Okay, these are all different variations of non-Jewish women. But then it says, ala giores, vala shvuya, vala shivcha, sheniftu, vishenizgayru, sheshtachu, p'chusos, mivnoshal, shol, v'yecha, yeshlem knas. We're going to force the boel to pay the 50 shekel kesef to the father.
Even though you don't know
if she was a virgin or not. Was she a psula or not? Then the answer is, well, her gayrus took place before she hit the three years. That's psula choser. Iyana higdili chol limchos. Is yavina la knas, the ozla, the gozla, the yachla, the giuso? You're going to take the 50 shekel, and she's a non-Jewish girl because she made him a chah. The Gemara answers, L'chigodla nami mimchi v'nofka? Kevin shigdila sha'achas v'lo michsa shumeni chol limchos. So Gemara now wants to know, why this whole repeat? Abai didn't ask the kasha of Rava, Rava didn't ask the kasha of Abai, but they're both asking the same identical question. Abai lo amar k'Rava, why wasn't Abai bothered by the mission of Knas? Hasam Knasa Hayu Taima Shalo Yehe Chote Niskar. I'm not going to worry about this guy. This guy is this no good scoundrel, right? He was ma'anis a girl, and you're going to tell me, well, maybe she'll be mocha, and therefore we have to get nervous about it. How can we force this guy to pay off? Says Abai, you know what? What are you going to say to me? He doesn't have to pay. He's a chote niskar. It's almost like we have to take a stand from a societal perspective and protect the interests of morality and decide that this guy should be, this no good, this scoundrel should be paid. So that's why Abai didn't ask Rava's question. Now we go on and we want to know why Rava didn't ask Abai's question. Rava lo amar k'Abai, why didn't he ask the question? Ksuba, hainu taima shalo tehe kala b'yeno v'lo tzio. Even in this case of a gioris k'tana, Rabbanan want him to pay the ksuba. They don't want to let him get away with the ksuba. They don't want to let him flippantly decide to be Megarish's wife without suffering the consequence. The whole purpose of the ksuba was to make it difficult. You know, think a thousand times before you throw a get into your wife's chatzah, right? Oh, so you're telling me, Abaye, what are you telling me? But maybe, and you know, when she reaches the age of 12, she'll be mocha, and therefore she's a gioritz. She, her geris is invalid, and she's a goyita. And therefore, how could she collect a ksuba? Says, Rav, I'm not so worried about this. I insist that there has to be a ksuba. There's no such thing as a marriage, a Jewish marriage, without ksuba. That's the way the Rabbanan fashioned and designed a Jewish marriage. And even if there is a chance that at the end of the day, he illegally or unjustifiably had to pay this ksuba, and it's now in the hands of a goyita, I don't care. I'm going to take that risk. Why? Because I want to insist that every Jewish marriage have a ksuba and a fee of ksuba and the payment of the ksuba. Interesting here, I found a note. He says that Rava, eino cholek al svaras lo yehe chote niskar. Rava also agrees to Abaye that we don't want to let a chote like a ma'anis or a mafat to get away, you know, scot-free. Ella, but why does Rava disagree with Abaye? The ein mikach svar zula hotzi mamon me'amuchzok. A person has a chazok. He's a possession of money. Now you want to say to him, you know what? You are ma'anis a girl. Pay her, her father or her, the 50 shekel kesef. He says, you know what? The burden of proof is on you to prove that I'm guilty as accused and that I have to pay this money. Otherwise, I'm motzi mechabel haraya, I'm muchzi. Therefore, comes Lord Rafa and he asks the following kasha. How can the Mishnah establish that this gioris, who's p'chusa vivah sholosh shanim, therefore she's a basula, collects the knas? Why doesn't the ma'anis have the right to claim, I'm in the driver's seat, I'm muchzok, I don't want to pay, maybe she's going to be mocha? And what I think here is that there may be a possibility of saying that there are two ways of learning mecha here. Does mecha mean that the whole geiris is sort of iffy, And from its inception, it's placed into a gigantic question mark, and therefore the Muktzok has a right to say, well, I don't know if she's a Gioris, go prove she's a Gioris. Well, then, that the Macha is a positive force that is Oker the Gioris. And therefore, Abai is correct over here. Shaloye Chote Niskar. He has no right to say, well, I'm Muktzok, go prove to me that this Gioris. The Gioris is a done deal, and until you can prove that the Gioris is invalid, through the Mecha, then I have to assume that there is Gerus. We'll just quickly read the first line of the next Mishnah, so we'll make us Chola for next week on a new sugya. Hagadol Shebal Aktano. If a boy who's 9 years old and he's capable of Bia has a relationship with a girl and she's a Ktano. Now what's a Ktano? It means she's less than 3 years and one day. The katan shebala gedola, or a kat means he's less than 9 years old and he has relations with a gedola. Okay, I'm going to skip the next three words. Is ksuvasa masayim divrei Reb Meir. In such a case, there was no valid halachic bia. She still remains a besula, and therefore she has rights to collect a masayim. But here's where Reb Meir overstepped his bounds and incurred the wrath of the chachon. Mukat eitz. This woman has no besula. She had some sort of accident, and as a result, the besula were removed. Says Rav Meir, she never had be'ila. She's still technically a besula, even without the besula. She doesn't have the physical besula, but she's halachically a besula, ksubasa masayim. Chachomim omrim mukas eitz ksubasa ma. If she had this irua, she loses her status as a besula as far as ksubas is concerned. And if it's Hashem, next time, we'll talk about the soda.